So we started our year looking at divine direction and realizing that as we come into the new year, we need to answer some questions about how to go forward. Like, how do we figure out how to make 2018 so much better than 2017? And so we're using this book by Pastor Craig Rochelle, Divine Direction, and that's kind of where I'm preaching out over the next few weeks and kind of using it as a background. And if you are interested in going a little deeper, that's a great book. It's a great way to get you focused with your a family person or a business person or whatever the case may be. But we're using this as a backdrop, and we're trying to find how do we secure divine direction for our decisions and our life so that 2018 ends up being the book we've always wanted it to be. And with that, last week we learned the two concepts that we need to focus on first is the who before do and the why before what. We need to worry about who we're becoming in Christ before we worry about what we're doing for Christ, because Christ worries more about who we are and who we're becoming and who we show the world we are than he cares about what we're doing. We can be ministers in any way, in any place that we are, but we first need to become followers and disciples of Jesus Christ. And the last thing is the first question we ask, and that's why before what? And we ask the question of why are we doing these things that we're doing? Don't worry so much about what we're going to do for the Lord, but ask the question of why we're doing it. And I challenged myself in front of you all, and as the words were coming out of my mouth, I did not like the challenge. And so sometimes I want you to know this, that when the pastor says something that's challenging to you, please know the Holy Spirit messes with me a lot more than he messes with you with the words I say, okay? So I made this challenge before myself. It came out of my lips, and I said, you know, if I am seriously about this hunt being for these heroes, I will leave my gun in the truck, and I won't shoot ducks. And I said that, and I went, oh, what? I said it out loud. They recorded it. I can't get out of it. And so this week, I want to tell you what I did. I did carry my gun in, but I shot cripples. Any duck that they knocked down that was still swimming, that's what I shot. I didn't kill any duck for myself the first 2 days. I let the heroes have the hunt. On the last day, when time was running out and we were about to go, and I realized that some of these heroes can't hit the broadside of a barn with a shotgun, I did help a little bit. But it made me stop and question, am I doing this hunt because I enjoy hunting with these men, or am I doing this hunt because I want them to enjoy this connection and this sport and to say thank you? And by having my gun there and not picking my gun, I will be honest too, the first time ducks came in, it was instinct. I picked my gun up and I, set it right back down. It wasn't easy. But I stopped for a moment and I asked myself why, and it framed everything so much better. And the conversations and the joy that I got from that were something I have not experienced in doing these in the past. So we always need to question our motives. Even if we're doing good things, why are we doing them? So that other people will see us, or so that other people will see God through us. And that's where we started last week, finding this divine direction. And so today we want to kind of take that and begin to take and twist it just a little bit and apply it to how do we make decisions? How do we make decisions? One thing is for certain, this year, we're going to make decisions, and those decisions are going to make us, right? We're going to make decisions, and those decisions are going to turn around and make us who we are and how people see us. So how do we make godly decisions? Well, one thing that I learned about decision-making is that it gets harder with age. And as I was thinking about that, my first thought was, well, when I was young, it didn't matter what you decided, because if it was dumb, your parents were going to correct it anyways. You really didn't have the freedom to make choices, right? They might let you choose. You can spend your money over here, or you can buy bubblegum and comic books. What do you want to do, Scott? Well, I want the bubblegum and comic books. Are you sure you want I was sure. Okay, I'll give that money at the church. You didn't have choices because your parents were there hovering over you, making sure that you made better choices. I also realized that when I was young, my decisions didn't have any weight on them. None whatsoever. To me, it didn't bother me. When I decided that we could make a boat out of an old pallet we found in the mud, and we could go fishing down the Obion River in West Tennessee, that decision had no weight. It looked like all good and fun. The weight of why is my son not home at dark all rested on my parents, right? Or the rescue squad coming after us. But me, there was no weight on that decision. It was just all about fun. But as I've gotten older, the decisions get harder. As you get older, there's more people who depend on you to make the right decisions. People at work, your family, your spouse, your friends. More people are, so that your decisions get heavy because more people are depending on you. And then in the days that we live today, there are so many options. I grew up in a very rural, small town out in the country. We didn't have many options. What are you going to do today? Well, it's kind of like fishing weather, and there's a pond, and I guess we're fishing, you know? Not many options. It's either fishing or sit there, look at the pond while other people fish. Today, there's so many more options. You know, today as a pastor, I could decide that I want to go and plant a church. I want to go plant a Methodist church. Or I could decide I want to plant a Pentecostal church. Or I want to plant a Baptist church. And I could line myself up and do those things. And next week, I could have a new shingle outside my office that has a new name on it. Or I could decide that I'm going to quit being a full-time pastor and go work somewhere in the private sector so that I can share the gospel there. And I'm still accomplishing God's plan for my life. I have options available. I even have the option, it would not be a very wise one, to say, I don't want to be a pastor anymore. God, take that. And God will let me make that choice. And he'll also say, you're on your own. Deal with that, right? We have options. What are we going to wear? What are we going to eat? Where are we going to live? What are we going to do? So many options. So it makes decision-making harder. So how can we make decisions and make godly decisions? Where do we find the strength to do that? I'm going to share the good news with you. We're Christians. If we believe in Jesus Christ and we follow Him, we're disciples of Him, then that means that God's going to tell us exactly what to do when, and we'll never have questions about it, right? Isn't that how it works? Come on, church. Isn't that how it works? Man, wouldn't that be great? But it's not how it works. God doesn't show us what's in our future because we can't handle it. If I knew exactly where I was supposed to be 2 months from now, I'm going to try to get there sooner than 2 months, aren't I? If I know where I'm going to be 2 years from now, if I know that in 2 years from now I'm not going to be at this church anymore as your pastor, and you come up today and you say something ugly to me after the service, what's to say I'm not going to be nice back? In my mind, I'm going to say, well, I'm not going to be here in the future anyways. Back to you, you know? We can't handle that because of our flesh and the sinful nature of that. So God can't show us too much. So how do we grow into God's perfect will for our lives? God promises that He will give us that step by step, and He uses wisdom. He uses wisdom as a commodity. Step by step, God will get you where you need to be. Step by step with Him, you will be delivered. Step by step with Him, your 2018 can be so much better than your 2017. And maybe if it's already kind of bad, maybe your February 2018 can be better than your January 2018. Step by step with God's wisdom. That's how we make decisions, and that's how we grow in Christ. If we ask God for the future and He serves it up on a platter, how have we grown? We haven't grown at all. You think about that for a moment. I have two children. If my children ask me for things and I just give it to them and I never make them earn it, what are they going to be like as adults? Well, turn on the news this afternoon and you can see what they're going to be like as adults. We grow when we earn. We grow when we use and utilize our faith and our relationship with Jesus Christ. We're going to grow in the faith. If God just hands it to us, we're not going to grow with Him. So instead, God offers us wisdom so that we can discover the future. And those last two words are so important, alongside Him. God doesn't want us to go out and just figure out what we're supposed to be doing by ourselves. He wants to reveal that to us. He wants to walk with us as we write the chapters of our book tomorrow and the day after. He wants to be with us. And so He gives us wisdom so that we can discover the future alongside Him. That's God's plan for us. That's why we are in this place, and that's how we're going to unravel all the mystery. Side by side, step by step, with God the Father. So let's look at those three steps to wise living. The first one comes from Proverbs 13:20, and it's a very simple word, and it's walk. It sounds so simple, just a few letters. Proverbs 13:20 tells us that we are to walk. Fingers are stuck together on a cold morning. I'm sorry, I apologize. Proverbs 13:20. I used to hate it when my grandma licked her fingers and turned pages, and now, guess what? I have to lick my fingers and turn pages. Proverbs 13:20. Whoever despises the world brings destruction on himself, but he who reveres the commandment will be rewarded. He who reveres what God says. He who walks. There's another part in Proverbs that says that the person who walks with wise people will find wisdom. And the person who walks with the unwise will find destruction. So in all of this, it's talking about obeying God. And how do we find obedience? How do we obey God? First and foremost, we have to walk with people who obey God. We have to walk with people who are already doing it. We want to walk with people who have the right answers. You ever notice when you walk with someone who knows what they're doing? Especially if you go on a guided trail or something and you walk with someone else, you just feel comfortable. You don't have to worry about every little sound or every little branch in the trail. You know what's going on. So for us, we have to learn to walk. So I'm going to bring this down for us, and what does this mean? If you struggle with marriage, if your marriage is falling apart, if your marriage is struggling right now and you don't know the answers, you're not going to find help hanging out with other married couples who are going through the same thing. You're not going to find help hanging out with other married couples who are falling apart and who spend more time apart than they do together. You need to find a married couple, maybe older than you, maybe your same age, maybe younger than you, it doesn't matter. You need to find a married couple who seems to have a strong marriage, and you need to go to dinner with them. You need to begin to hang out with them. You need to begin to let them show you the way. If you have a problem with drinking, and by the way, I didn't pick these three, these are just picked at random. I'm not picking on anyone, so if you're there going, why is Pastor Scott preaching at me this morning? I didn't. If it is, that's not me, okay? But if you have an issue with drinking, you're not going to get over your issue of drinking. You're not going to be able to break that chain of addiction to alcohol if you continue to hang out with your friends who go out wine tasting and go hang out with the bar. Now, there's nothing wrong with drinking a glass of wine. There's nothing wrong with having a beer necessarily. But if you have an addiction to that, you don't need to be around it if you want to beat that addiction. Doesn't that make sense? You need to walk with someone who doesn't drink, or even better, walk with someone who has walked away from drinking, who knows how difficult it is, who can support you. If you have an issue with gossiping, and I know nobody in this church has an issue with gossiping, amen? Some of you men laughed way too loud, okay? And you're getting that look from your wife. If you have an issue with gossip, you don't need to hang out with the same little group of people who are always producing gossip. You need to walk around, you need to walk with someone who doesn't gossip. And if you're in that place and gossip breaks out, you need to walk away. You don't need to do it in judgment. You don't necessarily need to beat them over the head and go, you guys are all going to hell because you're gossiping and that's against Scripture. I don't want to hang out with you anymore. You just simply need to say, this is not a place that I need to be. And maybe if you're truly honest, you can say, I struggle with gossip and this feels like gossip and I need to make a change. So I'm going to step out. You're going to affect the people around you, but it'll be in a positive way. If you struggle with something and you want to change it in 2018, you've got to learn to walk with people who have already figured out how to walk. And you don't need to stay with the people who continue to struggle with the same thing you're struggling with. They say the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results, right? Well, if that's the case, Christians are absolutely out of their minds. Because what do? We open up Scripture and we'll go to a Bible study and we'll come to an altar and we'll say, God, take this away from me. Take this thing away from me and free me from this thing. And then we get up and we don't change who we hang out with and we don't change what we do. And we go on about life, expecting that prayer to have had power. And God says, I can do all things and I can make you skinny, Scott, but you've got to get up from the altar and go out of here and eat a salad for lunch and not a box of Twinkies, right? And that's where I fail. A salad doesn't taste like Twinkies. And that's why I'm still fat. So Christians, we're absolutely out of our minds because we know there's power in prayer, but we don't let that power change the way we live our life. And when we do that, we take the power out of prayer. And we limit God to only the miracles. God, can you heal this person? I can heal that person. God, can you do this? I can do that. God, can you make me not drink today when I go to the bar? No. But I can give you wisdom and someone to walk beside you so that you don't go to the bar. We've got to learn a different approach. We've got to learn to give God room to change us. And it begins with surrendering and looking, just like we sang a minute ago, here's my life, Lord. I know that I need to lose weight. Maybe you're kind of like me. That's your thing in 2018. I need to lose weight. You know you need to lose weight. It's healthy to lose weight. Give God your life and walk with people who are already going to an exercise class. Walk with people who have already lost weight and let them encourage you along the way. The first thing we do is we walk. The second thing we do is we ask. In James chapter 1, verse 5 and 6, it says this, if any of you lacks wisdom, anyone here lack wisdom? Yeah. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, let her ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to them. But let them ask in faith without doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. Do you hear how easy that is? If you lack wisdom, just ask God, and He'll give it to all of you. Every one of us can have wisdom. God will deliver wisdom to us. Here's what that looks like. When we moved to Union City, Tennessee to be youth pastors there, that felt like it was a decision God had led us to. It felt like the right thing to do. And a couple of years into that, we still had our house in Pell City, Alabama, with a mortgage, and it was on the market to sell. During that housing crisis that y'all have heard about, it was a crisis in the Smith household, right? And so in the beginning, we were leased to own a house, and so we were just making some small payments, and then those folks moved back home, and they wanted their house back, and so we had to go and find a place to live. And I realized that I had a mortgage on a house in Pell City, and I'm a youth pastor. I'm not like rolling in the dough, right? And so I didn't know what was going on. So I remember going to my dad, and I sat down with my dad, and what I wanted to do, I wanted to go to dad and say, loan me the money to buy a house, and let me pay you back. That's what I wanted. I wanted a solution, instant solution. But instead, something happened when I sat down with my dad. I was too scared to ask for that, so I began to ask. I was beating around the bush, right? And so instead, I asked for wisdom. How can I solve this? And he said, go to the bank. You don't understand. I have a mortgage and debt, and I don't make much money. He said, small-town banks can do things big-town banks can't do. Yeah, right, Dad. I know you've grown up in the country, whatever, right? But he gave me that wisdom, and so I tried it out. And when I tried it out, the bank said, yeah, we can't give you a mortgage on another house because you already own a house. But for that amount of money, we can give you a personal loan. Did you hear that? They gave me a personal loan. No collateral down, no money down, just sign the thing, and we're going to give you a check for a house. A personal loan. Ain't no bank in Birmingham ever thought about giving me a personal loan like that. They said, well, what do you do? I'm a youth pastor here at the church. Who are your parents? And I told them. Where are you from? Told them. Yeah, we'll give you a loan for that. My dad was right. Hardest words ever to share with him. Hey, I talked to the bank, and you're right. I wanted a solution. Instead, I got wisdom. And the wisdom helped me to learn that there's always some options, and things aren't the end of the world. I asked for wisdom, and what I really wanted to ask for a solution, and wisdom was better. Dad could have given me a loan, and our relationship could have gotten weird, right? Because now I owed him money. And you would think, it's my dad. He's not going to charge interest. Yeah, my dad would have charged interest much higher than the bank, right? Asking for a solution is not going to solve our problems long term. Asking for wisdom makes us better people. The key to gaining wisdom for your life is to ask God. Here's the hard part. Here's the part we don't get as Christians too often, and that doesn't make any sense to me either. To ask God, we have to spend time with Him. We have to talk to Him. We have to open up His Word and read. Sometimes the wisdom comes right off of these pages. We have to spend time in prayer because sometimes His Spirit will speak to us when our knees are bent and our ears are open. We have got to spend time with Him to ask. And that's where we fall apart. Can I tell you something? You're facing a problem today. Simply saying in your pew or coming to this altar, kneeling down and going, God, deliver me from this problem. That is not asking God for wisdom. God, I've got a decision I need to face tomorrow morning. Give me the answer right now. That is not asking God. God wants you to come spend some time. And God wants you to, on your knees or in prayer, God wants you to open up and say, here are the options, and here are my fears, and here's why I don't think I can make this decision, and here's why I need you. And then, here's why I trust you, and here's how I'm going to follow you. When you spend time with God, you'll get the wisdom. If you just give Him lip service, you're going to miss Him. And that's why some of you are still struggling. Even though you pray and you pray and you pray, you're struggling with the same thing because you've never spent time, truly long-term, down and deep time with God. It's time to do that. The what-ifs will kill you. When you're talking about wisdom and all the what-ifs, what if I decide this and what if this happens and what if that happens, what-ifs will kill your 2018. But if you spend time with God, God's power overrides your what-ifs. And when you hear a song and those words that we sang a while ago, if you notice the way that song was constructed, you started out declaring things about yourself. I am free. I am loved. If I were singing that about me, I would say, I am in shape, claiming something that I know God can do in my life. And then the reason why I know God can do it is because He's powerful. We sang those words, you are good, you're enough, you're all that I need. And then we responded in the end to get there. Here's my life, here's my heart, here I am. There's no room for what ifs when we surrender to God. So we ask for wisdom to know the answers. We ask for God to give us the wisdom to make the right choices. And if we ask and seek Him and spend time with Him, God gives wisdom. Not some of the time, every time. A third thing is decide. We've walked with the right people, so we're getting feedback from those around us. We've asked God for wisdom, and God has delivered it. And now, in 1 Thessalonians, we have to learn about deciding. 1 Thessalonians 3, first three verses. Therefore, when we could bear it no longer, we were willing to be left behind at Athens alone, and we sent Timothy, our brother and God's co-worker in the gospel of Christ, to establish and exhort you in the faith, that no one be moved by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we are destined for this. I want you to notice something right there in the beginning. Paul didn't say, when God spoke, we sent Timothy to you. When God led us, we sent Timothy to you. He said, when we couldn't stand it anymore, what's not written there is that we just decided. We got together, we said, we know this is the right thing. We have asked God for wisdom. We have prayed and we have sought Him, and we just feel that this is the right thing to do. And it's because we think it's the right thing to do, we're going to send Timothy to you. He felt it was the right thing to do, and he did it. Too many Christians are paralyzed because you're waiting for the words to be written in the sky. And God says, if you have faith in me, and if you trust me, and if you have sought me, it's time for you to put your faith in action and do something. Make the decision. Take the step. Don't be paralyzed by a lack of faith wrapped up in a packaging of faith. We call that faith. We say, I can't decide right now, but I'm waiting on God to tell me to move. I'm waiting on God to show me what to do next. Are you? Or are you just too scared to take the first step? Most of the time, it's the latter. We need to realize we can't be paralyzed by fear and call it faith. There are times when God speaks and orders my step. There are times when I have heard an audible voice even saying, this is what you need to do. And there are times when God's silence is deafening. In those times, it's not that He's not there. It's not that He doesn't care about me. In those times, He trusts me. Do you understand that He gives us the choice to choose to follow Him, to give our hearts over to Him? He trusts us with the most important decision we could ever make, the decision to say yes to Him as your Lord and Savior. If He trusts us with that big decision, who's to think He won't trust you with the decision to buy a new house or stay where you are, to take a new job or stay where you are? God trusts you with these decisions because He knows He's given you wisdom. He knows your heart's right. And so He doesn't have to tell you what to do, but He wants you by faith to step out and take that first step. Oh, but what if I miss God? Do you not think that that question haunted me when we were in Union City? When all of our savings was gone and there was no money left over, banging two mortgage payments for a while? Don't you think I didn't stay up at night laying in bed going, what if I miss God? What if I wasn't supposed to come to Tennessee? That's why our house isn't selling, Sarah. We're not supposed to be here. Let's quit here and go back there. Sarah says, well, they already have a youth pastor back there. Well, maybe that guy missed God. You know, I'm trying to put blame somewhere. What if we miss God? What if I make a mistake? Let me tell you something. If we miss God in faith, if we make a mistake because we acted on faith, God will honor our faith, and His grace will cover our mistake. God's not looking to punish us if we get out of line. God's looking for us to be bold enough in our faith to take a step and show, I trust you. And if we do that and it's wrong, He's going to be there. At one day, gosh, that day's coming way too soon. One day I'm going to hand a set of car keys to Zoe, my oldest daughter. And there's a part of me that's going to want to trust her with those really bad, right? Now I'm going to trust her with that, and I'm going to say, go. You have proven that you're able to do this. You've proven that you know what to do. Go. When she has an accident, and she probably will, God bless her little heart. When she has a little accident and she backs into something, am I going to come down on her? Or am I going to fix it? Am I going to come along and say, hey, you learned, and now you know. You learned, and now you know. That's the love of a father, and that's the love the Father has for you. He's not looking to punish you for every mistake. He's looking to be there and help you through them. If you make a poor choice, you're going to gain wisdom the next time. If you make a right choice, you're going to gain wisdom for the next time. What do you have to lose? Make a decision. Get off the fence with your faith. Do the thing that you know God's calling you to do. You're waiting on some sign. This is your sign. God is saying, do it and trust me. God wants to see us put our faith into action. Walk with those who can help you. Ask for wisdom while spending time with God and put your faith into action and make a choice. Take a step. If there's something in 2018 that you want gone from your life, you need to find someone who can help you walk through it. You need to ask God for the wisdom to make the right choices and the strength to make the hard choices. And then you need to put your faith in action. You need to say, you know what? I do want to grow in Christ and I do want to lose weight, so I'm going to sign up for SoulCon. I do want to learn more about what it's like. I do want to learn more about the Bible, and I want to be surrounded by people, so I'm going to sign up for a small group. We got to take steps, because it's not just going to come delivered to our house, FedEx or UPS. We got to go pick it up. I don't think that's asking too much from the man who died for our sins, that we should reach out to him and pick it up. The biggest thing is, in all of this, we need to trust that God loves us. And that he's not looking to hurt us, and he's not looking to harm us, he's looking to deliver us. And so that's what we're going to do this morning. I'm going to ask the band to come back up real quick, and we're going to sing that last song again, just one time through. And if you're here this morning and 2017 had some stuff in it that you don't want to carry over into 2018, today's a day to get rid of it. Today's a day to seek the wisdom. Today's a day to ask God, give me someone to walk with me. Show me that person who can walk beside me and guide me through this. Give me the wisdom to make the right choices. And so today, if that's you, we're going to say this whole altar area right here up front is open. And your seat is an altar. And God can honor that. And we just want you to do this. When we sing through that song the first time, we're making those declarations. If you're like me and you need to lose weight in 2018, say, I'm in shape. Say, I'm skinny. If you have a little faith, say, I'm not as fat as I used to be, right? But declare it and realize that what you're declaring is, this is what I want. And then as we sing, we say, God, you're enough. You can help me eat better. You can help my marriage heal. You can help me be a better dad or a better mom. You can bring joy to my heart. Declare the thing that you want in 2018. And then declare that God is enough to provide it. And if you mean that and you want to see results in your life, open your hands. Surrender your heart. And when your hands are open to surrender your heart, they're open to receive wisdom from God and a blessing from God. So we're going to declare who we want to be. We're going to praise the God who has the power to make it happen. Then we're going to surrender and receive. And if you're here and you're ready to give things up today, if you're here and you're saying, I don't even know how I'm going to get through 2018. I don't know how I'm going to get through the next week. I am so heavy with this stuff and I'm tired of it. It's the same thing. You'll just sing, God, I'm free. If you're under addiction, you'll say, God, my chains are broken. Whatever it is, God wants to walk with you today, and he wants to give you wisdom, and he wants to grant your desires, but it's up to you to take the first step. So if you're able, stand with us, and let's sing this song, and let's sing our desires out to God, and then let's surrender our lives and watch God work. And if you need prayer this morning, I'm right here up front. Please just come and take me by the arm, and I'll be happy to kneel and pray with you. Let's go before the Lord. We are before you. We are broken. We don't know how we're going to make it through this week. We don't know what to do next. We don't know what our next step should be, but we know that you love us. And we know that you want the best for us. And so we throw our arms out in surrender and we say, God, be close. Give us your wisdom. Help us to feel your presence. And speak your truth into our hearts. We surrender to you and we leave this place knowing that today we go with you and you go with us. Help us to write a new chapter, a new book of our life. Guide us and direct us in everything that we do. For you are more than enough. You are more than enough. We ask all of this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.